We've dealt with trumpets 2, 3, and 4, and now Revelation tells us we're heading into some woes. I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study Grow Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
In Revelation 8, 13, John tells us what he sees. Quote, "Then I looked, and I heard an eagle flying in mid-heaven, saying with a loud voice, 'Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound.'" Unquote. An eagle flies through the heavens and announces the coming of three woes, along with the remaining trumpet judgments. Now, the woes themselves are especially terrible because the target of each of them is the people on the earth. It'd be very good for each person listening to me right now, to take some time to study these passages and focus on their reality. You know, we don't spend enough time doing that these days. Everything is so fast-paced. We spend a ton of time using our smartphones, playing video games, being on the computer. Our attention span has grown much shorter, and not by accident either. And it is more difficult for us to be and remain focused on the things of God. But let's talk about those woes that are coming up. Now, we covered the third, fourth trumpet judgments of Revelation 8, as well as the first woe of the three woes previously. This first woe was signaled by the flight of an eagle across the heaven. Now, according to Revelation 8:13, this eagle appears as a precursor to the coming woes. It's a warning to all inhabitants of the earth. And the next judgment happens following the sounding of the fifth trumpet. It's a very interesting judgment here. And let's look at the text in parts. First up, Revelation 9, 1 through 3. Let's talk about that, and then we will get into it. Now, the fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. When he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it, like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and the sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss, and out of the smoke, locusts came down on the earth and were given power like that of scorpions on the earth. All right, that's Revelation 9, 1 through 3. Now picture the scene. Try to imagine this. The fifth trumpet sounds, and John sees a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. Now, we've seen a number of those things. A mountain falling into the sea, a meteor or a comet in another place. Now, here he sees a star that had fallen. But is this star really a star? Or is it something else? Remember, we're going for the literal meaning here. What does God actually mean? He's not leaving things up for grabs. Certainly we can figure things out from his word. Now, what's interesting is we get the clues right in the text. So he saw a star falling from the sky to the earth. And then notice, the star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. And when he opened the abyss, all right, let's stop right there. The star is very likely some type of angelic being. If we had stopped at a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth, we might go no further than to think of a comet or meteorite or something else. But this star was given the key, and the key was to open up the gateway to the abyss. This star referenced here can't be a physical star or planet of the heavenly realm that, you know, merely reflects the sun's light. This star has intelligence, and the star is very likely some type of angelic being. We cannot be certain who the star is, but it is possible that the star is Satan or some unfallen angel. Now, the phrase "had fallen from the sky," it may or may not refer to the condition of the star, the angel, whether or not they're fallen or unfallen, spiritually speaking. But it may simply be referencing the trajectory that the angel took from the sky to the entrance to the abyss. If the star is not a fallen angel, then it would very likely be an unfallen angel, since there are really only two categories, simply fulfilling the direction of God. We've seen this a number of times throughout Revelation so far. I agree with numerous scholars that this particular star is an unfallen angel, though, you know, he follows God's directives to a T. His job in this pageantry is to open the entrance to the pit or the abyss, which will release locusts from that holding cell, so to speak. Now, note in verse 2 and 3, we've got the following description. Quote, "When he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it, like smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss." All right, when this angel opens the entrance to the abyss, the first thing John sees is smoke, like or as if it was the smoke from a gigantic furnace. Notice it doesn't say, "When he opened the abyss, smoke rose from a gigantic furnace." It says, "Smoke rose from it like the smoke from a gigantic furnace." We can't miss those small words. Simply means that it reminded John of smoke from a huge furnace, not that there was actually a gigantic furnace there. We can all picture thick, dark plumes of smoke coming from the large smokestacks. We've all seen pictures of that, and this is what John saw. In fact, the smoke was so thick that both the sun and the sky were darkened because of it. Take a moment to try to picture this for your own sake, just to get a mental photograph of what this thing looks like. It's obviously daytime, yet the amount of darkness and smoke makes it feel as though it's nighttime. If you were alive at this point, and all of a sudden the sky turned black and the sun turned dark, wouldn't you be afraid? I think most people would, because such a drastic turn from full day to something that appears to be night, it's not really a normal situation. The suddenness of it all would make all the people of the earth take note, and they would have reason to fear. Think about that. Think about that. You know, even when you're sitting at home and it's dark and maybe you're watching TV and you got a light or two on, and all of a sudden, for some unknown reason, all the electricity in the house goes out. So it's a little bit unnerving. You quickly gather yourself and go, "Oh, okay, the power's off. It'll be on shortly." But initially, it's a little bit unnerving. Imagine if something like this happened in a massive scale in the sky. So Revelation 9:3 tells us what happens next. "And out of the smoke, locusts came down on the earth and were given power like that of scorpions of the earth." So there's smoke, there's locusts, and the smoke is very thick and dark. And while people are very likely looking up into the sky at that point to see what's going on, they begin to see some type of creatures coming out of the smoke. I mean, talk about an invasion. This is what horror movies are made of, right? The old B-monster movies. Well, at this point, people are likely not aware that these supernatural creatures have specific abilities. They're trying to figure this out. What's happening? But John tells us that they're given power similar to scorpions of the earth. Now, there are thousands of species of scorpions throughout the world, but only 30 of them have toxins that are dangerous to human beings. In the southern part of the United States, for instance, it's not uncommon to find them in your home, and the sting can be painful. The scorpion is the image, is just reared up and ready to fight. His tail is sticking straight up or slightly bent over. He'll do whatever it takes to save his own life from predators. And scorpions are very aggressive. And generally, they don't back down. Now, when I was a kid, there were numerous model kits based on sci-fi slash horror movies. One company called Fundamentions produced several what they called gigantics kits, including one of a giant scorpion attacking a town. And the idea of that happening was really terrifying to a kid. You remember those movies, Them, about giant tarantulas, and another about giant ants, and the list goes on. The idea of these things happening, though, was a bit unnerving, terrifying to kids. But apparently God will bring something like this to pass during the coming tribulation period, though they may not be anywhere as large as the ones produced in the model scale. We really don't know. These scorpions described in Scripture will be unique from other normal scorpions. And here's why. If we look at Revelation 9:4, we learn more about the scorpions. Quote, they were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Unquote. Now, if we stop to consider it, these can't be normal, run-of-the-mill scorpions, because these have the ability to distinguish between grass, plants, trees, and humans. And in fact, they're told only to go after one type of human being, the human being who does not have God's seal on their forehead. It is this type of information that makes me believe these scorpions are not scorpions at all, but are similar in nature, but really demons that may resemble aspects of scorpions. We have no clue. All of the different beings, fallen and unfallen, that exist in the spiritual realm, a dimension that we can't see into. If we look at Ezekiel, artists have tried to render the things described there, and it's almost impossible for them to do. Now, Revelation 9:5 tells us even more about these particular scorpions. It says, quote, they were not allowed to kill them, the people, but only to torture them for 5 months. And the agony they suffered was like that of a sting of a scorpion when it strikes, unquote. Now, these particular scorpions, or what I believe to be demons, couldn't kill anyone. But they're ordered to torture people with their stings during a window of time equal to 5 months. There's no reason to believe that these 5 months here ultimately means something else. It likely means 5 months, 30 or 31 days, depending on the months. But we're also told that the sting from these creatures causes great agony, but not death. The next verse, Revelation 9:6, explains even more. Quote, during those days, what days? The days when these locusts, these scorpions, will attack unsaved people. They will seek death, but won't find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. Try to imagine that. The pain is so intense that people will want to die, but will be unable to commit suicide. God wants them to endure the pain. Why? Because he's a masochist? Or a sadist? Hardly. He wants them to wake up to their plight. He wants them to understand what eternity without him will be like. He wants no one to perish, and he takes no delight in the death of sinners, but he is going to use extreme measures in every attempt to wake people up from the sin-laden slumber. Do you know anyone who does not know Jesus as Savior and Lord? If they're alive during the coming tribulation and don't know Jesus, this is what they may experience. Christians, we need to do all that's possible to warn people of the coming judgments. It is our job. It is our job as outlined in the Great Commission. Now, we're going to talk more about this next time. We're almost out of time in this broadcast, but we will be coming back to this description of the locusts and the fifth trumpet and the star that falls to earth and everything that happens afterwards. We're going to pick up next time with Revelation 9, verses 7 through 10. And that provides a very detailed description of the creatures that the Bible is talking about. So please join me next time. And thank you for joining me now. I hope this has been interesting to you so far. We've got a couple of different series up right now. The other one is on the meaning of the day of the Lord that we're running concurrently. So I hope you'll join me for that one as well. We upload new episodes every Monday and Friday here at sermonaudio.com. And I thank you for giving me your attention for that amount of time, 15 to 25 minutes. Thank you. Well, until we meet again next time, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.